I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Oh, the roller coaster versus the Robin. A riveting rumble. The resilience, the robustness, roads remarkable. Their rivals, rhythmic, rampaging at times. It's Ramble Reacts! I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Andy Russell.
You're Andy Brassel. Don't even get involved,
Andy.
When I'm performing at that kind of level, you just step back and watch, all right? I'm getting this ball. I'm taking it round the defenders. And you might get an easy tap in at the end of it, for crying out loud. FA Cup on the telly, Andy. It's gone to extra time. We're both cradling slightly different cups of tea. I'm on the Earl Grey. You're probably on the green tea. Everything's okay with the world on a Wednesday night like this. Everything's okay. It did end Blackpool 2, Nottingham Forest 3 in extra time. And I must say, watching the ref pulling back the play because the goalkeeper had the ball moving with the last kick of the game, pretty much, it's not what you want to see when ITV4 has already delayed All Elite Wrestling, which is supposed to be on at 10 o'clock. Tony Khan has got enough on his plate without having to deal with extra time in the Blackpool-Nottingham Forest match. This is Forest's first game since the Chargers 2 days ago. We will get into that very shortly indeed. But it was a bit of a humdinger. It threatened to be a bit rubbish because as soon as sort of Blackpool came out for the second half, everyone sort of said, look, let's just keep it tight. Let's just keep it tight for 10 minutes. And Blackpool tried to play it out of the back and played it out of their bum. It was absolutely awful, Andy. And Forrest scored, but yeah.
It was. And I think it's less the playing it out of the back. It's less even the playing it out of the back when you're a League One team. It's playing it out at the back on a pitch like that.
Yes.
It really was a horrid stroke, classic FA Cup pitch, really.
A lot of ice in front of the advertising hoardings. It didn't look like it was in the best condition.
No, it really didn't. Living up to the name of the Seasiders and all that. But I enjoyed the fact that there was... It did feed into the whole FA Cupness of it, which, as you said, looked as if it was on the way out when Danilo got that second goal, because it looked like it would be a procession for Forest. And then you get the banger of all bangers to bring them back into it. And then you get the equaliser, and Lawrence Gabriel, who made the mistake on the goal that they conceded on the Danilo goal. I very much enjoyed the fact that it's all so close and claustrophobic and boxed in at Bloomfield Road that you had to go, yeah, fucking come on! Like, for the, you know, there's no chance of, like, you know, Sam Matterface didn't have enough time, even though he had 120 minutes to talk. He didn't have enough time to apologise for all the swearing and whatnot, did he?
No, yeah, it was right in the... I mean... What happens in situations like that? Why can't they get the microphones far in? Bearing in mind, they're lip mics, aren't they? Why can't they get the broadcast material as far away from independent season Fs, so to speak? It's the ones that come out of nowhere that shock you, I think.
So you're saying that, like, the cameraman or the sound man should, like, dive on the microphone like he's smothering a bomb or something?
Do you know how noise cancelling, active noise cancelling in headphones works? Yes. Basically, it takes a microphone feed from the outside and it inverts the phase and tries to play the exact opposite of that word. So what we need is camera people just shouting whatever the inverse of the F word is. Koof. I don't know how it would work, but that's what we need. Maybe there's something that can be done. It was a hell of a match in the end. I thought Wood at the end, Blackpool's keeper came right up at the end of the pitch and had a pop at goal at one point. I'll certainly try to turn it into the six-yard box. But the ball was loose for Forrest and somebody had a shot. And Wood was absolutely fuming he couldn't add to his tally of one in the 110th minute. Well, I don't even think goals count in the 110th minute. Nobody remembers them, ever.
Possibly not, but I can understand why he was pretty annoyed, because I think it was Aguilera, wasn't it, who could have passed it to him and decided to have a shot from his own half instead. And I can kind of see where Wood was coming from, because it's not so much the not scoring the goal. It's not so much they needed to score the goal, because, of course, they were winning anyway. It was more the fact that, look, I'm in my 30s. I'm still running on a cold Wednesday night on this shitty pitch. But when I signed for Newcastle United for $100,000 a week, I didn't think I was ever going to have to play on this kind of pitch again. And here I am, toughing it out in Championship Hellville to all intents and purposes, even though Blackpool are in Hellville, mate. There I am making a run for absolutely no reason.
Yeah, I mean, I think with both teams probably could have done without that extra half an hour. Obviously delayed for, I think, a medical emergency in the crowd at half time. But they got the game finished in the end. But I think both teams have a lot of work to do in the league. Blackpool hope to climb out of the league they're in, and obviously Forest are looking to just solidify their position with a possible points deduction that may come later in the season. On that, Andy, I mean, it's quite interesting because I guess Everton and Forest have both admitted to breaking the Premier League's financial rules. So we're going to have two independent commissions doing the same thing. And thanks to the changes in the rules and how these kind of studies, how these kind of regulations get applied, it's going to be quicker than ever. But if they appeal any of these punishments, they will be doled out in May, post-season, which seems quite stressful when it could end up with teams finding their way out of the league.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what the boys were saying today, and the boys handled it very well, by the way. I thought it was a really interesting discussion.
Doesn't sound like them. It doesn't sound like them, Andy. I don't agree. I did listen, but I don't agree.
You guys give me a separate feed that's full of voice actors, don't you?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
It's not really them.
It's redacted. It goes to our lawyers and they redact a lot of stuff.
Exactly.
Can you, we stick it to ChatGPT and say, just make this smarter for Andy. We already know he's slumming it. He didn't even mention The Simpsons and The Guardian, as mentioned.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, so I think the point of, you know, you've got to find a break in the season to preserve the integrity of the competition. Mm. I understand where they're coming from entirely, but really the conduct itself is affecting the integrity of the competition. So there's no ideal time to do it, really, is there? Because what? You get to the end and you do it in the summer and you're basically saying everything that went before was bullshit and it didn't really count. Mm. You know, it does affect the integrity of the competition at any stage in which it's done, really. So there's no ideal way. You've got to be thorough. And it's a bit like everyone's saying with the Manchester City situation at the moment. You know, why is it taking so long? Well, because there's 115 bloody charges.
Yeah, and Manchester City have made it very clear that they would rather be the bad guys and rather lawyer this out for however long it's going to take. It's kind of like, if you wet yourself a little bit, right? If there's a little patch of wee on you, people are going to go, you're disgusting. If you cover yourself in head to toe in wee, people go, you need help. and then people don't sort of look at you in such a bad way. So I think Everton Forest have obviously in a situation where they've only performed one of these feats of malfeasance, and they've found themselves looking like worse than they potentially are. But as the boy said this morning, just do it. Just do it proper.
it's a weird thing, isn't it? Because if you think about it, you know, this is not some sort of big bad ogre bringing these naughty little boys to heel. Mm. The fact is that the Premier League is the clubs. You know, they all voted for those rules in the first place. Mm. So it's such an unusual situation when you have this. You know, to imagine the point of infraction that you must get to actually get charged in this situation. We're talking about going a really long way. And it's always difficult in whatever level of football because the fans don't deserve it. The fans don't deserve any of this bullshit. And they never did. Just like they didn't at Exeter, just like they didn't at Portsmouth. But, you know, that doesn't make what's happened right on the other hand. So I think what surprised me the most is the fact that it's being done in this sort of stick rather than carrot kind of way. Because even when you look at how FFP is dealt with in the Champions League and, you know, teams that have been dealing with the consequences of FFP for ages, like Roma, like Porto, for example, quite big clubs, it's a sort of consensus thing. You know, normally, unless it was like Manchester City, who again lawyered themselves out of this being thrown out of the Champions League when we go back a couple of years, it's always you're offered an FFP settlement and then you sort of, you know, it's more of a discussion than a punishment, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it surprised me that at least the rhetoric around it has not been the same for particularly Everton as well as Nottingham Forest. I suppose the thing with Forest, at least, is, you know, they may have been charged over this profit and sustainability stuff. They may have had to play, as our good friend Tom Wally, Nottingham Forest fan, said earlier, a game and a half longer than they should have on ice. But because it's only 20 minutes flight back to Nottingham, at least they'll be home for last orders.
Yeah, so the Forest squad flew to this fixture against Blackpool last season, but tonight the travelling fans have got what a heck of a journey ahead of them. I mean, obviously, they won the match, but I mean, with this hanging over the top of their head, I think, the 2,000 fans should be applauded. And even if they won, they should also have their travel reimbursed in some way. Speaking of travel, Sean Dyche said last week that he had to talk to Arnaud Danjuma about taking 8-minute flights from Manchester to Liverpool for training. But he actually said on Sunday that he was joking and he couldn't believe that some people had taken it seriously. He then ended his press conference by joking that he was off to fly home to Nottingham. I thought he lived in Kettering. So, like, I'm confused as to whether Sean Dyche knows where he lives or not, to be honest.
Nearest airport, so he's obviously not joking.
I guess it is. Yeah, that is true, actually. Yeah, that is a very good point, actually. I think that, like, if you're... If you're a third tier city with your own airport named after a criminal, I think you should be allowed to just use it to go down the shops if you wanted, to be quite frank. You've got that airport, you plumbing use it. They're like Southend Airport, the thing that just flies over my head every few hours, all we get is like old World War II planes pottering around, just having a having a skip around the sky and then plonking themselves down. I'll be playing football in goal and I'll be distracted by the fact I reckon a plane is coming in sideways and it's going to smash into my own pitch. But like, I would love to see a little bit more action at Southend Airport. I want to go places. I want to do something with my life, Andy Brassel.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think next Ramblebino by popular demand will depart from Southend.
Yes,
in that case, I think it's pretty clear, by the way, that Dan Juma was not joking about that Liverpool to Manchester flight. It's just now he's been environmentally shamed. Yeah. He's going backwards a little bit. There was this thing last season where Christophe Galtier, who obviously got shamed for much bigger things than that, was a PSG manager still. And in a press conference, he was asked about them flying to an away game. And he's like, well, what do you want us to do? Take a yacht there? And Kylian Mbappe was next to him and he laughed. And he got off the hook completely for that, whereas Galtier got absolutely smashed in French Parliament, in the press, in the media, by football people, non-football people for the next couple of weeks. And Mbappe sat there chuckling away, and no one thought anything of it about him.
I do have a yacht. Nottingham Forest will have the task of keeping Ivan Toney quiet on Saturday in his first game back from his 8-month ban. That's gone quickly. That's gone quickly, Andy. For me. Probably not for him,
no.
No. He does have the chance to do something very funny this weekend, though. I think it would be very funny if he did it.
I was going to say, I like the way that before he's even played a game again, he's like, yeah, I'd like to play for a big club that's going to win trophies.
That's what powers him, though. That's what powers his reputation, the thing that precedes him appearing on a field. It's always like, look, I could be playing for you next season, but for now, I'll just make do with scoring a load of goals. Brilliant.
I mean, there is a pleasing, like, even before this, and you know, I think it's a complex issue, obviously, but there's definitely a layer of villainy to Ivan Toney that I can get on board with. I mean, I remember Eddie Howe's first game in charge of Newcastle, and it was against Brentford, 3-3 draw at St James's Park, with Eddie Howe not there because he had COVID, of course, and Jason Tindall kept going into the tunnel and like phoning him because it was too loud outside. But Toney didn't do any of this thing that Luke and Marcus and actually I hate as well, the oh yeah, sorry, I played 10 minutes for you once, and I'm really sorry. He was just absolutely giving it the big licks in front of a full St James's Park, and I very much enjoyed that.
I very much enjoyed that too.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Let's not take the piss here.
I certainly wasn't.
Well, I think you are.
So elsewhere tonight, Everton beat Crystal Palace relatively handsomely, 1-0, scoring a belting free kick to win the game. It was an absolute crack-a-lacquer it was. There were boos from the away end, though, and chants of "you don't know what you're doing" when Roy Hodgson subbed off Eze 64 minutes into the game. Is this going to ramp up the arrogant owl of Roy, or is it just going to dampen down his kind of like his hubris, so to speak, Andy? Because he's on one at the moment, isn't he?
He really is. And if you mean the next time they beat someone shit, is he going to give it the big one? Of course he is. Of course he is. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But he's really interesting watch at the moment, Roy Hodgson, because he's just at that sort of age where he's just not taking any shit, that sort of stage of his career. And, you know, we saw that when he was talking about the Calvin Phillips thing. Now, you know, he was almost doing a Mourinho impression about, you know, well, if we throw our hat in the ring, like maybe we could help him out because he really needs to play for the Euros. And it wouldn't only be good for him, it would be good for the country, never mind us. And then he said, we could give him minutes in the Premiership. You know, he doesn't even care about like putting it in new money. He's like, and if you come over, Calvin, we'll give you 2 florins for your work. You know.
I will collect a mouse or two for you. Don't you worry about that. Well, the lads this morning were talking about rumours of Carrick replacing him. Would Michael Carrick be a good fit for that club? Is it just more Roy? More kind of like not particularly charisma-y kind of managing the dugout?
I think there could be more to Carrick than that. Like we said recently, I mean, I strongly believe he's going to be a really good coach. But what I think interesting about what he's doing at Middlesbrough at the moment is that they have played like quite aesthetically nice football since he's been there. And, you know, a lot of Borough fans who you speak to are like, well, you know, I never really imagined Borough, especially at this point in time on reduced circumstances, you know, after years after the Premier League gravy train, didn't really imagine my team playing football like this. And yet they've played a little bit more in a little bit more of a circumspect fashion against Villa in the Cup and against Chelsea in the Cup. One, because they're playing bigger teams, and two, because they've got a shit ton of injuries. So I think the fact that Carrick hasn't just got one way to play suggests that, you know, when they had the departure before and they wanted to play in a different way, whether it was with Vieira, whether it was the incredibly short-lived De Boer experiment, you know, I think Carrick has got enough different strings to his bow that I think he could maybe sort of ride out the rough stuff. But I think if you're looking at Premier League jobs, I mean, I don't know about you, Pete, how attractive do you think Palace are? Because obviously they're an established Premier League team, which makes them a club, which makes them attractive in a certain way. On the other hand, they are in that weird netherworld of not going down, not going up. It almost feels like the only thing they can do is make a gamble, it go wrong, and they go down. You know, it doesn't seem that there's any other way out of this Groundhog Day. So that means so much must lean on the aesthetics. And for some of the reason, of course, I have sympathy with Palace fans who pay a lot of money to go and see their team. They feel the football's not that good, and they feel that the world outside loves Roy Hodgson, doesn't get why they're not extremely grateful that they're just staying up. And he leans into that and kind of is quite dismissive of any complaints. I mean, what do you think? Do you think that makes Palace a little bit unattractive amongst Premier League clubs for a potential young manager?
I think, I mean, if you are learning your, not learning a trade, because obviously Carrick's been in the game for quite a long time, and he's, would it be fair to say, Andy's doing it in the right way? He's not going for those massive, huge jobs that are very chaotic in the background. I think this club is slightly chaotic in the background, to be honest. You've got Steve Parrish, he's only got 10% of the club, but he holds a lot of sway. If there's rumours that he's going to be leaving, he's very important to the bottom half of the league, you would argue, being the head of the, we're not going to go into the European Super League kind of situation. You've got so many other kind of characters that own kind of like minor stakes, but they have
the John Textor larger thing.
Yeah, the John Textor thing's interesting. He was the shareholder John Textor. Textor sounds like a promotional mascot that tried to sell us like ringtones in the 90s. You know what I mean? Like just a dancing mobile phone. Hey, John Textor here. Anyway, but he was seen downing a pint at Lyon's French Cup game last week, a little bit like Mike Ashley at the Emirates in 2008. He absolutely saw it off, though. Andy, I saw this video of John Textor downing a pint of Lyon. I don't think it was a full pint. I think it was a three-quarterer.
Yeah, I think it was schooner at best.
If we're going to put schooner, that's what I was thinking of. Yeah,
Australian measures. But I think if you were going to do that, I mean, you might remember, it's one of those things, obviously, that people really love to deny it, but Mike Ashley was still quite popular when he downed that pint at the Emirates. People, you know, still thought he was all right and had optimism about him. Thought, he gets it. He's one of the No, he's not. He's absolutely dreadful. Before we even get to the end of the sentence, whereas already people think Textor's an idiot, and they have done for quite a while. I think it's as simple as to watch Lyon at the moment. You need a drink. It's that simple.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's reportedly considering selling a stake in Palace, but that might just be because of the line of sight Premier League alcohol rules. Crystals is gone now. What's he got involved for? The guy loves the sesh. What can we say? So on the Everton side of things, it's as discussed. They're in the in the dock, so to speak, pretty soon. Some pretty hefty charges being leveraged their way. You would imagine there might be another points deduction, but we won't be finding out for quite a while. Even though we've got an expedited process on this. Former Newcastle man Isaac Hayden has claimed in an interview that he left Standard Liège over unpaid wages and is going to start legal action. 777 Partners, who are apparently weeks away from taking over at Everton, are the owners of Standard Liège. You hate to see it. With everything that's going on and has gone on with the toffee men and the toffee women and the toffee people, this is the last thing they need. This is the last thing they need.
Yeah, and most reasonable Everton fans are really concerned about 777. I know with a lot of fans, you know, our general nature is to be optimistic, isn't it? And our general nature is to look at a new owner coming in and thinking, oh, they're buying it for a reason. They want to make us better. We all want the same thing. They're going to spend some money. But I think Everton fans, partly through experience, are looking at this and looking at it in a sensible way, because 777 have left a mess everywhere, really. Because, you know, we're talking about multi-club ownership. Even if they were paying their bills, I mean, multi-club ownership is not a thing to aspire to be in, because, you know, you're inevitably going to find out that you're, you know, way down the pecking order. Now, I suppose Everton could have a right to not think that, because they're in the Premier League, which is obviously a big stage. Maybe that would be the head and the rest would be the body. But I think with everything that's happened with 777 and everything that happened before with Mushiri, I think they're right to be concerned. It's you know, something I say again and again, being a supporter is not just about blindly defending your club and the way it's run, whatever. It's about asking the uncomfortable questions. It's about protecting what's yours, because the club does belong to the fans, really.
Mm. And it'll be there way longer than the celebrated company that 777 Partners represents. Every cloud and all that. Everton are going to be facing Luton in the next round, so they've got a bit of a shot for a bit of a cup run amidst all of the misery within all of the charges. All right, let's round up the show with your friend and mine, Mr. Jordan Henderson. he's apparently terminated his Al Ittihad contract after just 6 months. He's apparently heading to Ajax. No doubt the boys will be talking about this pretty soon on the show. But we've got to get our digs in, haven't we, Andy? This is what we're here for crying out loud. I don't know about you, Andy, but I just love someone just getting their hand caught in the till and then trying to, like, just panic, just dragging themselves through two seasons of Dutch football just to rescue homeopathic levels of their legacy. I fucking love it, Andy. I really do.
You know what, Pete? It's funny you should describe it like that, because I remember when I used to do the World Football phone-in on Five Live with Dotton. And I really loved the drive back at 4 a.m. I used to get a cab back, and I lived in Battersea at the time.
Right.
And it was a great drive back through West London. And then you go
in the pundit's horn, in the Battersea pundit's horn that they have. For lost pundits who've been caught on the streets of London. There's another one. Get the big pundit net.
Eventually, I was rescued by the Football Ramble.
Oh, we were going to put you down, but you're just too cute.
And you come across the Battersea Bridge and see all the bridges in London lit up. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
But you also used to see people leaving a nightclub in a shambling mess at like four in the morning. And I once saw this guy as I was stopped at some traffic lights somewhere in Kensington, and there was a guy who was out with his mates, and
EastEnders actor.
It was not in the middle of the road.
The taxi driver resisted the urge to lean into the slide. Poor Gaffney.
This gentleman was behaving very sensibly. He was having his sneaky pee into a bin. And I think you have to respect that. But he saw a police car going down the road, and he thought, oh, shit, I'm in trouble here. And I saw this whole little soap like unfold as I was sat at the traffic lights. And so he saw the police car coming, and he tried to run away, but he still had his trousers down, and he was drunk enough that he hadn't really considered that. So he tripped over, collapsed on the pavement, obviously, and peed all down himself. And this made the police notice him, reverse back and nick him while he had his trousers and pants down. And when you're describing what's happened to Jordan Henderson there, I think it's quite it's quite a suitable allegory, really.
I think so. But I would say in that situation, if I'm a policeman and I have the choice to look the other way, you're looking the other way, aren't you? Because I'm not having a bloke with pee all down himself in the back of my car. It's just not happening, is it? At 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the morning. So, yeah, there is that, I suppose, isn't there? But yeah, I mean, what can you say about this move? It's undignified. It'll probably help Ajax out, who are in an amazing state in the league this season. Will he be a square peg in a square hole, Andy?
Well, they've got quite a young team now, having lost a lot of talent there. He's not going into a good side, and he's not going into a club that's brilliantly run at the moment. So there is a lot of other stuff that could go wrong. I'm wondering if he's leaping before he looks again, really. Yeah. The extraordinary thing to me is this story that's come out earlier on Wednesday from Sam Wallace, saying because of a UK tax issue, he essentially deferred his wages. So he hasn't been paid anything since he's been in Saudi. But people around him think he might not get it. So basically, he's been away for 6 months doing the shittest work experience ever.
Come on. This is the stuff, isn't it? He's not even going to get paid.
Unbelievable.
It just does not get any better. And he was going to donate all that money to a charity as well. Oh, what a big shame. What a huge shame. But, I mean, presumably with these contracts, I don't really know necessarily how they are crafted, or at least whether they're crafted with the same rigours of the legal process that obviously is quite coveted around Europe in that there, London and that. But, like, you do sort of think, like, presumably there was a I can go away now clause in this particular thing. But why would the Saudis agree to that? Like, why would they agree to allow him to just tear up his contract? It just seems absolutely baffling to me.
Well, if they're not going to end up paying him, if you bear in mind that he was meant to be getting the thick end of 40 million a year, at least gross, I mean, by getting him for 6 months for free, they've saved themselves 20 million. So that takes away the 14 million they paid for a player who's left 6 months later and given them a little profit on top, I suppose. They're already talking about spending the money on other players in this winter window.
I thought that was good. I thought you were going to say that was going on the Newcastle United war chest. Absolutely gutted. Absolutely gutted, for crying out loud. I don't want them to sell.
Indirectly.
It'll get there eventually. All right, then. Let's wrap this one up. Andy, you've got OTC coming out tomorrow.
Yes, we do.
Jesse Lingard to Barcelona. Is that the whole show? Is that going to be the whole show? Jesse Lingard to Barcelona.
Well, Pete, that's not how it's done on OTC. I was just about to say, we're going to talk about Xavi and how he's under pressure at Barcelona. So what sort of moves will he make? What has he got up his sleeve?
Yes.
That's what we're going to be looking at in OTC.
Lovely, lovely stuff. Bring me in with the high-minded stuff and then talk about, like, the naughty stuff, what we all like, really. All right, then. Well, Marcus, Vish and Jim and Luke will no doubt be talking more about Jordan Henderson, Jesse Lingard to Barcelona, etc. on Friday's previous show. So make sure you subscribe so you do not miss that. In the meantime, find us on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Football Ramble, and remember to subscribe on your podcast application. I've been Pete Donaldson. Andy Brassel, thank you for joining us tonight. I hope you enjoyed that extra time with vigor and vim. He's doing a wave. He's doing a wave for people not watching on YouTube. We'll be back very soon with more of this, and go and join Andy Brassel on OTC right now.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real Championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.